And we're on the fly at Vintage today, a beautiful Monday here, the very beginning of AirVenture 2019, and what a week it's going to be. And there's, we had weather issues before the week started, but look, the crowd is huge. Everyone's turning out. People are coming. It's successful.
And the weatherman has said the weather's going to be phenomenal all week, and we're just really going to have a great week here at Oshkosh.
That's awesome. Now, we always love coming down here to Vintage because you have so many interesting people to talk to and interesting stories. And you've got featured airplanes here on Rose Plaza, and one of them is this beautiful Comanche 250 here. And you've brought over the owner of that airplane,
another lady pilot, Sandra Payne. And Sandra's husband is busy at a forum right now, but she's representing the airplane. She is from New Zealand, and they flew this airplane, this Comanche 250. It's been modified with tip tanks, but they flew it here from New Zealand, and they're currently on a six-month round-the-world trip in this Comanche. And Sandra, whatever possessed someone to do a round-the-world trip in a Piper Comanche?
My husband didn't want to sit in a rocking chair, so he decided at 73 years of age he would hop in his Comanche and fly around. He said, "You want to come with me?" I said, "Why not?" So there we are.
You told me the other day you had the longest leg of your trip so far. You were how long across the water?
It was from Guam in the Pacific Ocean across to Kagoshima in Japan, and that was just a little nine-hour flight.
A little nine-hour flight.
Yeah, a little nine-hour.
Nice short. The you know, a lot of people do this with sailboats. You know, they decide to go out on these six-month trips in a sailboat, crossing the ocean or what have you. This is very different from that.
I don't think it is, really. I think it just takes the same sort of mindset. Some people go around the world in boats, some on motorbikes, and, you know, some do caravanning or camping, and we're just doing it in the air.
Some special equipment is necessary, right?
I think the special equipment is mostly the pilots. But we do have on board extra fuel. We carry 140 gallons of fuel, which gives us approximately at good fuel burn 12 hours of flying. So a 9-hour flight leaves us landing with about 2¾ hours, which is a nice comfortable leg. On board we have obviously a very good life raft and a lot of survival equipment, and we also are wearing, over the colder places, we wear Swidnik immersion suits.
Oh, that's very smart.
Yeah.
Well, being that it is a single-engine airplane, you've got to take these precautions.
Well, everybody says, how can you do it in a single? Well, the airplane doesn't know it's only got one engine. We're the only people who do, and my husband is the mechanic aircraft engineer on board, and he's a very meticulous person, so I feel very comfortable flying with him. And well, so far, we've just had a beautiful flight.
Well, the whole key about being prepared is hopefully you'll never need it. If you're prepared, you hopefully won't need it.
I don't think we will.
Yeah. Well, and where do you go from here now?
From here, we go into Canada and up to Goose Bay, then over to Greenland, Iceland, and into Scotland at Wick, down through England. And some people here might know the airfield we're going into. We're going to Brereton, which has some vintage aircraft there, which will be really nice. And then we're heading to Switzerland, Poland, and then to Moscow. And from Moscow, we're going right across Russia into Vladivostok, and then down home through probably Okinawa, the Philippines, back to Australia, and then back to New Zealand.
Wow. It sounds like, so do you have is there a company or a service that provides you with all the permitting? Because there's a lot of
In some of the countries we do. Some of the, like Russia, we have a lovely man called Evgeny who has helped us with all our permits for Russia and helped us with fuel and accommodations and things. But if we're in like America, Australia, New Zealand, England, we do that all ourselves.
Wow, that's fantastic. Mm. Well, we wish you the best of luck on your trip, and thank you. Did you say that there was some type of an award or something going on?
Well, there should be. This airplane's being judged, and I can't believe it's not going to leave Oshkosh without something.
Yeah, it is a beautiful airplane.
Well, thank you. I want to just thank Ray for adopting Barry and I over this coming week. If it wasn't for Ray, we probably wouldn't be here talking to you, because we were parked way down in a 124, and Ray came and rescued us. So,
that was so nice.
So thank you, Ray, for being our new dad.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for bringing your beautiful airplane. It's quite an adventure to get it here.
You're welcome.
And here it sits, beautiful Rose Plaza.
That's right.
Thank you.
We invite people to come up and take a look. It's going to be up here all week, and they'd be very happy to tell about the trip and show you the airplane.
Now, she mentioned that they're going to stop at an airfield that has a vintage airplanes in England, right? Now, I bet you there's a lot of gypsy moths over there, because that's a British airplane. And, oh, well, what do you know? We just happen to have a gypsy moth right here on the vintage area, and it is a gorgeous airplane, and we have the owner right here.
We have the owner, Mike Mignottis, with us. Mike brought this brand-new restoration. It's a 1928 gypsy moth. He flew it in here in not the best of conditions. He had quite a handful, and Mike, tell us about your incredible, very rare airplane.
Well, a 1928 Gypsy Moth has a very interesting history. Originally purchased in the United States from Lowell, Massachusetts. That was the dealership for Gypsy aircraft in the United States. And it was purchased by a very well-known person, Mr. Gar Wood, who was a famous boat racer. He was also a famous inventor in the United States. And Garwood owned the airplane for 3 or 4 years. It went up to Canada. Was a trainer there, a mail plane, worked for a mining company. Eventually ended up in the RCAF during World War II. Was involved in a training accident in 1943 and was scrapped. Somebody collected all the parts, put them in the barn. Then fast forward to 1978, a friend of mine up in the Toronto area found out about it, decided to buy the project, and wanted to restore it. He got about a third of the way, and unfortunately, he died in 2010. I knew about the project. I was interested. I went up and got it. The family let it go around 2014. So, and I've been working on it ever since.
Wow. And when did you complete the project?
About 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
It has about 6 hours on it. And that 6 hours is since 1943.
Well, one thing, if nothing else, AirVenture is a set date. And if you're going to make it to AirVenture, you pretty much have to hit your posts for completion. Otherwise, you just miss it. So that's quite a motivator.
Well, there's no other place like it in the world, and it's the pinnacle if you get to bring an airplane here. And, you know, like the Stinson, it had 10 hours when it got here, and yours 6 hours. It's just incredible what people do to get here.
You know, to finish a project like that, you have to be optimistic. Actually, I wanted to bring it last year, but I didn't make the deadline. And actually, to a large extent, I didn't think I was going to do it this year because I ran into a couple of glitches. And then time just keeps going faster and faster. And there were a lot of 12-hour days on this airplane to get it here to Oshkosh. But being here, it was definitely well worth it.
Wow, that's great. Well, thanks for the effort that you put forth to bring the airplane here and share it with all these aviation enthusiasts. You must be very proud of your airplane and where
it sits. Yes, I'm very proud of the fact that there's so much interest in it here and that everybody's enjoying seeing it.
Yeah. Well, Gypsy Moth's an interesting airplane because, I mean, truly it doesn't look like anything else that we have and on display here. So it's intriguing.
Well, one of the wonderful things is you occasionally see these airplanes in museums. And museums are great. But what better museum than we have right here in the Vintage Aircraft Association where you see these airplanes fly? And these people that restore them, incredible.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thank you very much for joining us on EA Radio today. It's been a pleasure having you, and good luck this week with your airplane.
Thank you very much.
And your endeavors and adventures getting back home, because that's always half the fun as well, coming and then going, right? That's right, Ray.
It sure is.
It's part of the adventure.
And it's an awful lot of fun having EA Radio visit us right here on the Rose Plaza in the Vintage Aircraft Association. We appreciate it.
Well, I guess we'll have to make a date for next year. Same place, same time, right? Jay Machi, we are on the fly. Thank you, Ray Johnson, one of the directors here at Vintage, and everyone who's joined us on the show today. It's been a lot of fun. We're blessed with good weather for the show, and I think we're going to have a great week. Everybody, tomorrow on the fly, we'll be on the flight line for the very first time ever, and we're going to talk to air show performers and some neat stuff tomorrow, 1 o'clock here on the fly at EAA. Well, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you very soon, Mr. Ray Johnson. Jay Machi on the fly, and you're listening to EAA Radio.